can a Latina woman move past her religious, cultural, feminine wounding and find herself? I'm your host, Dr. Kate Dow, and welcome to another episode of It's Her Turn. And today we are very honored, I'm honored to have Krista Ziamara, who is a creator of I'm Awake Now What podcast that I was very graciously happy to be on a couple years ago when I got to meet Krista. And she's been busy and creating some amazing stuff now as a co-founder of House of Enlightenhood, a new spiritual media company that's shaking things up and coming up with new business models to really make a difference in helping everybody have access to spiritual growth and information. Krista, I'm so excited to have you here.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me, Dr. Kate. I really appreciate the invitation to be here with you today.
Well, it just feels like this magical coming around because I just started my podcast a bit ago and I was like, oh my God, it'd be amazing to have Krista come and then to hear all the amazing stuff you're doing. So let's just kind of jump in and tell me a little bit about this journey that you're recognizing you've been on and where it's brought you.
Yeah. So my journey started being adopted into a family that was in a weird fundamental Catholic community. And that was kind of like the first moment in my life where things kind of got off the rails. And I was in this weird experience for years and years and years. And eventually had this life-changing moment where I questioned kind of everything and said, what do I believe? I've been indoctrinated and brainwashed in these ideologies and what do I actually believe? And left my marriage, left religion, and set out on what I call now a spiritual expedition of sorts to go find, you know, in search of truth, like we all do. We all have this like hero's journey that we take. And I took this hero's journey that took me, you know, through multiple religions, multiple philosophies and spiritualities, and found myself back in center towards the middle of my 30s. I'm 40 now. And realizing that, you know, the truth exists within us all. You know, we're born with the truth of who we are and how we're connected to everything, divinity, nature, each other. And I think we all sort of, if we wake up, because, you know, we're all waking up in different modalities over different points of time of our life. I think everybody's waking up. But as you start to wake up in your own personal journey, I think you start to ask the really big questions and you need to reconcile internally so that you can come into alignment and have a homecoming of sorts for yourself and find who you are as you were intended to be on the day that you were born in life. Separates you from yourself. And so I'm on the higher end of that journey and really feeling the fruits of my labors at this point.
I bet. So can you share a little bit about what the challenges were that you speak to as like this wounding that you realized really happened for you in your culture, you know, but also because we live in a patriarchal culture, but you then had the sort of like the Latina version of that machismo. And then you know, also had that experience in that religious culture. Would you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I would love to. Yeah. And I think what's interesting about all of us is our experiences are very multidimensional and colored and they overlap each other, right? And for me, some of my upbringing was overlapped in religion and my Latino culture, which the patriarchal nature of Abrahamic religion is very much about suppressing the feminine, subservience, you know, modesty.
Oh, yes.
All of the, and also like no, like disassociation with your body and sexuality and all of these things. And women are really just meant to procreate. Like I learned very early on that my worth was only valued if I were to get married and have children. And that was built into my, brainwashing from day one when I got adopted into this family. But then you have the cultural overlap of the Latino community, which is has very similar roots. And sometimes people are like, oh, well, that's because everyone's Catholic. Well, no, that's not actually true. Originally, the Latino community that has roots in Mexico and South America, they worshiped, you know, a variety of deities. You know, we were conquered by the Spaniards who brought Abrahamic religion. And so that that misogyny was built into the culture before the religion came. And so there was that overlap of the suppression of the female, the subservience, the hyper-masculine male. And I think the thing that was always very confusing to me growing up as a woman was I got this all of these indirect and direct messaging about who I was as a woman. But there was this hypersexuality that was also expected as well. Like Latina women have curves and we were expected to, as you become into adulthood, like embrace those curves, but you were never taught to embrace them as a child. So you felt, I'll speak from my own experience. I don't want to generalize other people's, but I'll say for me, I've never been able to reconcile that. I still do struggle with that. So I don't show my body a lot because I'm afraid it'll get attention and the wrong attention, right? Because that's what I was raised with. But then in the Latino culture, they want their women very sultry and sexy and all of those things. And that's really confusing. And it really tears you away from your womanhood, you know, growing up.
Definitely. Definitely. It's a very confusing message of what being feminine means. It's like, be subservient and, you know, just have this role and don't step out of line, but be this, you know, amazing, sultry goddess that we get to sexualize and enjoy, but stay in your place and don't feel too powerful.
Yeah. It's like a constant juggle of like, be feminine, but don't be too sexy. You know, have self agency and dominance, but don't over dominate the males. Like it's that push and pull constantly. That is, I think, so confusing to young minds. And that's what creates this tension within ourselves that creates the internal separation. And you, as women, I say this a lot on my own podcast when we're talking about these ideas, you know, like we're starting behind the line because we're born and we're told what to be. Men are born and they just are. And so we're like 10, 20 years, 30, sometimes even 40. Some women don't come into this realization that they're not all the things society has told them to be. And undoing that in and of itself is like life's work, right? And so you, in the Latino and the religious community, you have that same idea getting perpetuated in your family and in the church. And if you're very religious, like my family was, those were the two places I lived. So it's overwhelming for sure.
Right. Right. Because that broader story, even, you know, you have it in religion and then you have it in Latina culture, but you also just like, if we just like that huge global idea of, you know, patriarchy and its very, you know, clear misogynistic view of the world and of the feminine, not even just women, but the feminine, right? Needing
That's
to control
exactly
that.
Right.
So
it's like a Russian nesting doll.
Oh, totally. So how did that impact you the most? Like, what did you notice when you started to say like, wow, this may not be really working for me?
Yeah. Well, I think that when you come to find your authentic place in this world, you realize that some of the things that brought you static were because they were not in alignment with the core values of who you were. And so even though I did follow the trajectory that was expected of me, I mean, I got married when I was very young and stayed religious for a very long time and very pure, sexually pure in my, you know, leading up to my marriage and stuff like that. And what I realized is that there were times when there was like a disconnect that I just would agitate against, like just the idea of me being small and compliant and quiet, that really bothered me. And I didn't have words for it at the time. Yeah. I just knew it felt like an internal agitation. And then as I started kind of waking up and questioning things, I realized, oh, this is because these characteristics are not true of who I am as a person. And that was like a shifting point where I was like, well, if these attributes are not me, then who am I? And I think that's like the ultimate question, right? Right. Especially for women, who am I if I'm not supposed right. to fall in line with the things my family is asking or my religion or the patriarchy? And for me, to answer your question, it presented in ways where like I got really disassociated with my body. I had a lot of internal hatred, my internal critic, like you talk in your book, was very, very active, extremely mm-hmm. active. And I had no inner peace because of these things, because there was the me who lived and breathed and was down under there in the muck of the muck, covered up by everything my society, my religion, and my family was telling me to be. And that part of me that was completely me kept wanting to surface and find a way to express itself. And finally I had to, which I left my religion, left my marriage, and that required me to go on a very long and extensive healing journey, because there was additional like religious yeah. wounding and trauma. I did have sexual trauma in foster care that I also had to address as well, that kind of, again, it's like a nesting doll, just sort of like gets on top of on everything. And you're just like, well, I want to so live true. Free and liberated. And the best way for me to be free and liberated mm-hmm. is to face all of this head on and alchemize it and find a way to make it useful. And that's where I am today, making use of it all.
Definitely, right? Where we turn our wounding into our wisdom. I love that mm-hmm. that quote. It's powerful to me, because that's been a lot of, you know, my understanding and experience as I've unwound that self-loathing that I had so young, mm-hmm. you know, and then you start to recognize that cultural and societal impact. So mm-hmm. the spiritual path gave you lots of resources. What kind of resources were most helpful that you mind, body, spirit were most helpful for you in your healing journey?
Exorcisms, just kidding. I mean, for me, I think in my book that I'm hoping to get out this year is The Alchemy of Kindness, which is the trajectory of this whole process, but I'll sum it up really quickly because I traverse my past and try to understand where the separation and wounding happened and then how to heal it. So because I feel very mm-hmm. passionate, I'm very much like a root cause person. So I think in terms mm-hmm. of like, I need to figure out the why so I can find the how to heal and then turn this into something different. But for me, after I left my religion of origin, landed in a yogic ashram, and that was my first touch point of getting inside of my body. So I hadn't been in my body for mm-hmm. 2 decades, essentially, from the time I went into religion to the time I went out. And that was the first time when you get into yoga and they teach you like shut your mind off and get into your body. And that was really critical, because I had never felt what it would be to be in my body. And that was like the first major healing milestone I had. The second healing milestone was the mindfulness practices, which I would say between my Swami at the ashram and Eckhart Tolle's Power of the Now and the New Earth, those were critical okay. touch points in changing mm-hmm. my internal dialogue and helping me realize mm-hmm. that I don't have to go on this roller coaster with my mind. You know, I can just observe my mind, and that in and of itself frees up a lot of energy, a lot of internal self energy, right? I'm sure you know this from your book. Mm-hmm. And then after that, just through my spiritual expedition, I found a whole host of other things like energy healing, I reconnected with nature, which I think is very important for us to be outside. We're not outside a lot, and I don't think you can find God anywhere except there outside. It's just so beautiful. And then ultimately where my spiritual journey sort of capped off was in Buddhism. And Buddhism kind of pushed me over the edge in the healing process, which really helped me out a lot with the internal critic, the self-loathing, because it's all built around compassionate practice. And a lot of people give this like lip service to compassion practice or positive affirmations. And those are all well and good. But if you really get to like the deep work of like doing the metta meditation and really loving yourself from a place of unconditional and lack of possession or lack of, you know, expectation, just dynamic acceptance of who you are, like that's like the end all be all. And I couldn't have gotten there. I know I wouldn't have gotten there without Buddhism, because these other modalities that I learned took me all the way up to the edge. And there was still my negative inner critic. There was still some internal separation. There was still judgment. And I would get frustrated because I didn't want to like judge people or judge myself. And you can't stop judgment unless you stop it internally, because we're in, you know, our internal our external is just a reflection of the internal, excuse me, is what I was trying to say. And so working really deeply with my, my Buddhist practices is what helped me get to the other side. And my book is about teaching people how to get to the other side, because I think self-hatred is one of those under, you know, represented epidemics in our culture. And we need help. People need help.
Yeah, they do, especially women, right? Women, I feel like women don't even realize they're self-hating, right? We disguise it as perfectionism, as like, I'm just aspiring to be perfect. So that's all. I'm just trying to motivate myself to be better. And it's like, well, actually, it's just not ever being okay with where you are and who you are right now. And so I agree. Compassionate practice is a very powerful piece. And I love hearing your story about it.
And that point that you made earlier too, with that, you know, women are being taken away constantly from themselves in society and stuff, like that's where it happens. Like this is where the self-loathing happens, because we're being taught early on, this does not really happen so much to men, but we're being taught really early on that like we're not enough, and we're not, there's some, we need external validation, external treatments, external all the things. So we go outside of ourselves constantly, and that's how we lose ourselves, and that's how that disconnection starts. And so it's really important to just like have a lot of compassion for yourself, because it goes completely undetected. And also, we're so young when it happens, we don't have any control. We're at the mercy of the people around us and how awakened they are. And so you have to have a big dose of self-compassion and forgive yourself for falling prey to it, because we all do it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't think there's any way you can be born in our culture in the last 5,000 years and not digest that. You can't not take that in. It's in everything. It's in our cells, right? Mm-hmm. It's in the blueprint. So wonderful to hear your story. And I'm so excited. Tell us a little bit about how that's kind of led you down to, you know, this work you did with your podcast and the amazing stuff you're doing with the House of Enlightenment now.
Yeah. So I think a lot of us also who go along the spiritual journey, I see this a lot, especially because I've been doing the podcast for 3 years now, is that once we get to a place where we've completed a big portion of our internal healing, we then feel really called to be of service to others in a way that's very authentic and collectively healing and collectively altruistic. Like, I don't know any other area of life where I feel like in the spiritual community, and again, I know I might be biased, but I feel like everyone is like rolling up their sleeves and pitching in and saying like, here's what happened to me. Here's how I healed it. How can I help you do the same? And we're all just like this symbiotic community trying to help each other and walk each other home, which is beautiful. And so for me, this, the same thing is true for me is like the podcast started because after I got through my religious wounding and healing, religious wounding and trauma experience and came out the other side healed and liberated, I felt really passionate that like, I can't be the only person who has gone through this. There might be other people that require support. So let me create this podcast that helps people on the path of awakening and expansion to come and find community and support and also hear like a huge spectrum of backgrounds. Like when you came onto the podcast, you came on pretty early as well. You know, your story was very unique and you talked a lot about in our episode about creating your own spiritual mosaic and how you've created practices and belief systems for yourself. And it's important to share stories like that for people who are undoing religious wounding and trauma or nothing at all, because it gives you a framework to work in a system that doesn't have a framework, which is spirituality, right? People need that. Yeah. It's so important.
Right. Yeah. And so they need to know it's possible. Like it, like it's possible. Like that's legitimate. I hear that with people that are often really struggling to let go of that structure that they know doesn't fit, but they feel like, how is it okay to not have that same structure in that way?
It's exactly right. And it's like, that's where the self-agency comes in. And you realize like you first of all can be trusted. That's another thing that our patriarchal societies and structures do is they teach us to not trust ourselves. We have to trust someone else. So at step one is like, trust your intuition and your internal guidance system that is asking you for some nourishment. Mm-hmm. Where is that going to take you? And so the podcast started with that idea of like giving people an audio community in which they could just get information and reference points. And then I've been friends with Lena Lemos, who originally started Enlightenhood, and it was originally founded on the idea of the spiritual awakening process as a mother. And she got through, you know, a couple years just focusing on motherhood and how it cracks you open and just the spiritual experience of that. And then she just realized there's more to it, you know, at 2-3 years after having her baby, she was like, I can't just keep this to myself. So we had a conversation about it, combining our businesses to create a more expansive spiritual network, platform. It's all the things. We're in phase one of the launch of the new and improved House of Enlightenhood, which we're trying to kind of say to people eventually what we want it to be is kind of like an amalgamation of like a spiritual Amazon and a spiritual like social media platform, but it's just for spiritual people to elevate their practice, their business, their connections, and do it in a place and a space that doesn't require you to be in a funnel, monetized, gate kept. We are building this with the idea that spiritual wisdom is our birthright and it's our gift to humanity. And we are the keepers of that information as we ingest it. And so we've termed this coin called open source spirituality, which means that all of our content forever for the rest of everyone's life will be free so that there are literal no barriers to awakening, expansion, and homecoming. And those three, we believe those are like the three pillars of spirituality through the entirety of your life. And so we've got a lot in store. I mean, like I said, we just relaunched. You can go check out. You can check out our website. We've built a media company that will be growing into The Amazon of spirituality, essentially. And there's a community, a private community. So that's the social media aspect of it, where you can just like meet people, talk to people. Don't worry about somebody's going to be hitting you up for, you know, do you want to take my coaching class or whatever? It's just like, let's bounce off ideas mm-hmm. from each other. What are you learning? What are you sharing? And we're really excited about it because we Beautiful. Feel like there's a paradigm shift that has to happen, especially after the pandemic. And mm-hmm. part of spirituality has been a yes. very white dominated space as well, because our white Very brothers true. And sisters have been on a different evolutionary path than a lot of the people of color and marginalized groups. And so they're a bit further along in money, access, and all of those things. So we're trying to level set, because we believe, you know, we can't as a collective grow unless everyone is growing with us. So our goal is to make sure we say this on the website,
Absolutely.
Like no soul left behind, period.
There you go. I mean, I was so moved when you told me about that earlier before the show. I was just like, oh my gosh, this is the out of the box thinking that we need to, like you said, bring everybody to the table so that we can create the shifts that need to happen as a whole conscious, you know, humanity. Mm-hmm. This is just amazing work you're doing. So what would you say, Krista, to a young Latina woman who's been raised in her religious family culture and she's hitting up against those places of, you know, is this really a good fit for me? Will I be guilty and, you know, in trouble if I didn't stay following what I'm supposed to be following? What would you say to her to help her know it's possible to find a different path?
Yeah, I would say I would start with saying, first, I really understand your fear. And it's real and valid because of everything that you've been taught. And it can be extremely scary. And especially in organized religion, the end-all be-all for organized religion is your soul. And if you're not in alignment with the doctrine, the canon, and the rituals, then there's a possibility you would not go to heaven. And I would say that any religion that tries to keep you in place through a form of fear is not God, and because God is just love. And to first to not be afraid, to just go and try and see what is, you know, what is out there. The other thing that you said earlier as well is that it's possible and it's available to you. All of this is possible and available to anybody. And there's a whole host of people willing and able to help you through, you know, your unbecoming and your homecoming that requires you to leave some things behind. And that can be very challenging as well. I think when we go on the spiritual journey, I know you know this very well, we can't take everyone with us. Not everybody understands us. Not everybody is in support of us.
Right.
But this is where the work is. This is where the work is for us to be able to stand in the light of our own strength, wisdom, and our core values as a person that was born into this world whole and individualized in divine source. And that your purpose here on earth is to make sure you come back into alignment with yourself in that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is, you have to have tremendous courage for yourself, because it can mean your family doesn't agree and they shun you. Your religious community. I've had to leave multiple communities that were like my family, and I've had to actually leave parts of my family because I just knew in order to be okay in myself, I had to make that choice. It was like, please others and, you know, not be okay, like really not okay in myself. Or I had to, you know, put the life jacket on and swim, you know?
Yeah, that's very true. And I tell people a lot on the podcast and when I've done interviews that one of the things that has been a byproduct of my journey that I've learned over time is that when you go on this journey and it does require a great deal of courage, when you learn the idea of self-acceptance and tolerance, you end up having to give more of that out than you receive. And that's okay, you know, because people don't understand and people aren't tolerant of things that are different. Or, you know, we in the spiritual community can be in a sense an anomaly to society. The society doesn't like anomalies. Mm-hmm. And so it's frightening to them. But the peace mm-hmm. and the inner knowing and just like, I don't know, I wouldn't trade this journey for anything. I could never go back to the way things were. It's just, it's so much more better on yeah. it's better on the other side.
Yeah. Well, it's again, it's sacrificing yourself for, you know, a culture that isn't supporting you, or it's stepping into your wholeness of who you are, especially as a woman, right? Where we get to
For sure.
fully embody and embrace who we are in our feminine, you know, and really that's what the world needs right now. From my point of view, like that's one of the major pivotal points for us to possibly get to the next level of humanity is that we as women will take these courageous journeys to free ourselves.
Yeah. So. And we need to, and I remember even being like young and having this thought, like, I wish I was a man because they had so much more like freedoms and liberties and all of these things. And now I realize, well, that's only if you live in this conditioned sort of box of what society is having you do. And I think that for us to evolve, it's going to take the whole of our gender to say we can't live like this anymore, because you know, whenever things happen to our sisters, whenever they're brutalized, whenever they're marginalized, whenever they're made to be subservient or submissive, that's happening to us too, you know, like. And we can't change the trajectory
sure.
of our society unless we're all pitching in. And it's hard. It is hard when people want to stay in the old norms. And I think people in the spiritual community, and I would say people who aren't spiritual but are liberal and recognize that there has to be this readjustment and this balance point of us with the genders so that we can evolve differently. Mm-hmm. It's going to take every single one of us doing the work on a daily basis, like calling out people's misogyny in the workplace, making sure that we ask for
right.
more money when
right.
we go to negotiate our salaries, making sure we're raising our boys to know mm-hmm. that they can't aggress against women. Like it's a holistic, mm-hmm. we all have to be doing all of the things to make it change. And I know that can seem overwhelming, but I just want to put that in there just for everyone. Like we all got to pitch in all the things in every way that
right.
we can, or else it's not going to change.
It's true. And your first step is really to show up for yourself, be compassionate, love yourself, and listen. Like, you know, you've said, Krista, listen to that inner guidance, because mm-hmm. that will guide you home. So
yeah.
Amazing to have this conversation. I feel like we could go on and on. Mm-hmm. How can people find you the best if they want to check in about what you're up to in your podcast? I know I'll have it in the show notes, but is there anything
sure.
you'd like to offer our listeners, or just a way to find you?
Yeah, just come hang out over at lightcastingmedia.com. You can also join our free private app there and meet other spiritual people who are just contributing to the overall wealth of our open source spirituality content, that are writing poetry, writing life stories, writing healing processes, meditations, like it's all free. Come and get it. Learn,
Beautiful.
Grow, expand, all the things.
Oh, great. I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here today, Krista. It's really been a joy.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And for my listeners, you know, thank you for being here. And I hope that this, you know, was supportive and inspirational and gave you a sense of what's possible for you. If you're struggling with something similar, or you know somebody is, then share this episode with them, because this is us as women helping each other, right? Reaching out, sharing, supporting each other. And I want to just remind you that it's your turn to find your voice, own your truth, and claim your power. See you on the next episode.